Psalm 90 verse 1 says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And I would like to speak this morning about our dwelling place in God. Well, the first thing I'd like just to do is to introduce this psalm. You can see that it was written by Moses. It says it's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And it's the only psalm that is said to be written by him. Most, as we know, are written by David. This one, written by Moses. And we don't know when in his life it was written. But I suggest that it was probably written towards the end of his life, as he was looking back on his life and looking back on the past generations. It's interesting to note that at that time, the people of Israel hadn't yet arrived at their destination in the Promised Land. They were, their fathers, the patriarchs, had wandered in the desert until the Lord caused them to go to Egypt. That was in the time of Jacob. Then they were 400 years in Egypt, and then they, as you know, they were tortured and persecuted in Egypt because Pharaoh was jealous of them. And finally Moses was raised up. He led them out across the Red Sea and into the wilderness. And it was a difficult period at that time in the wilderness, because as you remember, they got to the shores, as it were, of the Promised Land, and they sent the spies in, but they turned back. They were scared of the inhabitants of the land, the giants that they saw. They thought they'll never defeat them. And so 10 of the 12 spies brought back an ill report, and the people trembled, feared, and they turned back. And as a result, God's judgment fell on that nation. And so the Lord said that only their children would go into the Promised Land. So they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation had died. And so that may explain in verse 10, where we read, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And we need to remember that verse, because that's true for us as well, isn't it? Some of you children may think that 70 or 80 seems a very long way away, but if you ask Uncle Ernie if 70 is a very long way away, he'll have a different answer. I'll have a different answer too, because you'll find, if you haven't already, that each year goes quicker than the last year. I can't believe how quickly this year has gone. It seems to have gone twice the speed as the year before. And it's so when we read, for it is soon cut off and we fly away, the years themselves fly away. And so the lesson that Moses draws for us from this is in verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And this is Moses' prayer. Is it your prayer? Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And may I ask us, what do we apply our hearts to every day? Your holidays are coming up, aren't they? It's always lovely, isn't it? It's great to look forward to. I always enjoy the first day of a holiday. I don't really enjoy the last day of a holiday, because you're thinking about work and what's coming next. But the first day of a holiday, you've got the whole holiday stretched out before you. What are you going to do? Well, Moses' prayer is, teach us to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Are we this summer going to apply our hearts to wisdom? Or are we going to apply our hearts to computer games? And are we going to waste the summer and then at the end of it realize that we're no wiser than when we started? Do you know what holidays actually stand for? Holy days. Holy days, they should be time set apart for the Lord. I'm not saying that we can't relax and enjoy ourselves and have fun. Of course, there's a place for all those things. But primarily, we need to remember how short our days are. And we should take this prayer to heart, to apply our hearts unto wisdom. And life can be meaningless, can't it? In these verses, we see the labour and the trouble that they had experienced. They've been afflicted because of their disobedience. Verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, in thine anger. That's what wrath means. We spend our days as a tale that is told. And life can seem quite meaningless. And it must have seemed quite meaningless for these people in the last part of that time before that generation had passed away. And life can be, if we don't live our life for the Lord. You see, verse 1, this is the focus of today. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. So many people will make their dwelling places anywhere except in God. And you can see it from the restlessness in their lives. They're people who will move houses every few years. Do you know people like that who every few years they're moving from one place to another, or their jobs? They get fed up with their job. And so they move from job to job, from place to place. And I'm sorry to say, some people in our society will move from marriage to marriage. They'll get fed up with a relationship, they'll get bored with it, they'll move to another one. Because they're trying to find happiness in this world, but they can't find it. Because it's, of course, not to be had there. Interesting, isn't it? How Moses begin, how we hear, have Moses described here. Moses, the man of God. Moses had done what his generation did not do. Moses had decided to make God his dwelling place. I wonder how you would like to be known. Most people are known by their titles, aren't they? You can have doctor. You can be a doctor. You can be a medical doctor. You can be another other kinds of doctors as well. You can be in the army and you can be a general. And you can be known as the general, the retired general, when you've left the army. You can be a judge and be known as a judge. You can be known as a footballer. If you're a good footballer, you can be known as a great tennis player. And unfortunately, you can be known as some not quite such wholesome things. In the Bible, we have Rahab the harlot, because she was a prostitute. And then you've got people who drink too much alcohol, and they might be known as John the drunk. But here we have the person who penned this psalm. Moses, the man of God. It's marvellous, isn't it? It wasn't a name that he penned for himself. He was known as Moses, the man of God, because he put the Lord first in his life. And people saw that because they saw his prayers being answered. When Moses prayed, God acted. Friends, what kind of a person do we want to be remembered as by other people? Do you want to be known as John the drunk or John the man of God? That is what I suggest. The greatest accolade, the greatest honour that any of us could have. That they could say to us, oh yes, that is a godly man. That is a godly woman. See, the secret for Moses was that he made God his dwelling place. Now, I don't know how many of you have dreams. Some of you might do. And do you dream that you're going to be the princess? Prince Charming sweeps off their feet and you end up in a palace. Or you end up in a castle. And I can remember people like that, reading about them. They even know one or two who had dreams of where they would spend their lives. I think of one person who did end up marrying somebody who owned a castle. I don't know what the ambitions were of those ladies who married into the royal family. Were they wishing, dreaming of marrying Prince Charming and living in a palace? Some of them might have been. I think we looked at Moses last week, if my memory serves me correct, and I may be wrong, I do forget things, but Moses was rather extraordinary, wasn't he? See, as a baby, he was sent off down the Nile, because all babies had to be killed if they were under 3 months old. So he should have been killed, shouldn't have been allowed to see the light of day, but they could see, his parents could see that he was something special about Moses. He was a proper child. And so they made a little casket for him and sent him off down the river to see what would happen. And Pharaoh's daughter plucked him out and took him into Pharaoh's household. He was brought up a prince. Isn't that a fairy tale that we could only dream of? So he got this dream that everyone has come true for him. But then we read in Hebrews 11 verse 24 something rather extraordinary. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, in other words, when he'd grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Computer games weren't for Moses, not that they had them in those days, but the equivalents they did have. I don't know what your vice, it's not quite as bad as that, is it? What's your pastime? What do you dream of doing? Maybe it's travelling to far countries. Maybe you love music. See, Moses had the equivalent of that and more. He could have had anything, and some say that if he'd stayed in the palace, he would have become the Pharaoh. He could have ruled over this greatest empire that up to that time had ever existed. What would you have thought if you were Moses? You'd been brought up in a palace, not where your aunts and uncles lived. And you can look down on them and their little council flats and think, oh, I'm in a much better place. Would you think like that? Many of us would, if we were honest, wouldn't we? But not Moses. Moses saw what was happening to his people. And his heart went out to them. And so he turned his back on all his privileges and he went out and he joined them. Because he decided that he, like his ancestors in the faith, like the patriarchs, that's what the fathers of the faith did, he would do as well. Think of Abraham. Abraham was called out by God to follow him. And by faith he went, not knowing where he was going. And God credited it to him as righteousness. Because he obeyed God's call to follow him. And that's a call that each one of us has on our lives. You see, to make God our dwelling place, like Moses did, is to answer the call of God on our lives. And the best example that we'll ever find of that is the Lord Jesus. Look what he says in didn't write down the quote, but he said, foxes have holes. So when you see urban foxes, I don't know where they live, whether they live in dustbins or whether they go to the park and they've got a hole in the park, but foxes in the countryside, they live in holes. And the birds of the air have nests. I sometimes go swimming in the Serpentine, and the amazing thing to me is that birds make nests around the buoys. There are buoys that just are there to mark where you can swim, and between the buoys you've got nests. Birds have made nests for their young. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, hath nowhere to lay his head. The Lord Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. And yet, what he did is he made his dwelling place in God. And he called each one of his disciples to do the same thing. He would say, he would call his disciples to follow him, literally. So in John 1 verse 43, we read the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. And then in Matthew 4 verses 18 and 19, we read, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. See, they followed the Lord Jesus when he called them. They were willing to forsake everything in this world to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, I ask us today, are we willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willing to make him our dwelling place? Are we going to dwell in the things that this world offers? Or are we going to dwell in the Lord Jesus Christ? See, the Lord Jesus is God. The Lord Jesus is Jehovah, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And so when Moses prays in verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus truly has been our dwelling place. And we need to dwell in him. Think of what Paul wrote in Galatians 2 verse 20. Just going to read these words to you. He talks about where he dwells. I am crucified with Christ. Dwelling with Christ on the cross. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, on that cross, nailed to that cross, were you and me, dwelling in Christ on that cross, dying for my sins. My sins and the sins of all who believe in the Lord Jesus, nailed to the cross. My old nature, nailed to the cross, dwelling in Christ. He was my head who paid for my sin and for your sin, if you believe in him. Will you believe in him? Will you make him your dwelling place? So that now, instead of living for Mark Mullins, putting all of your names there, are you living for yourself? Or can you say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. There on that cross, I dwelt in Christ, crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, not I. No, Mark Mullins is dead, but Christ liveth in me. Have you made your dwelling place in Christ? And has he made his dwelling place in you? For there's no other way for our sins to be forgiven. And we all know that we're sinners, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, not one of us is righteous. We each need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness and for new life. Will we abide in Christ? This was the invitation that the Lord Jesus gives in John chapter 15. It's a lovely picture of a vine and us as a branch. Let me just read it from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Will we abide in Christ? Will we make him our resting place? Remember the Lord Jesus' invitation in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you find your rest in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you find in him your dwelling place? Come and surrender your life to him and allow him to live his life through you. It's a lovely picture of that in Luke chapter 24, when the two disciples were on that journey to Emmaus after the crucifixion and after the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. And we have a wonderful description of it here, and how it was that at the end of their time together, the Lord Jesus had explained the scriptures to him and caused their hearts to burn within them. And then at the end, in verse 29, we read, verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, says the Lord Jesus. But they, these two disciples, constrained him, saying, abide with us, dwell with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Friends, will we be like those two disciples who asked the Lord Jesus to abide with them? Will we, like Moses, be able to say, thou hast been my dwelling place, our dwelling place in all generations? Will we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will we follow him everywhere that he leads us? Will we make him our dwelling place? I leave us with that question. Amen.